Oh, thank you all, Church Unlimited. Thank you. I so appreciate that. Church Unlimited Broadcast, help me welcome all of our campuses from San Antonio to Rodfield to Portland, Rockport, Padre Island. Oh, okay. Y'all are not going to fool me. I know that y'all can do better than that. Let's welcome all of our campuses. Make some noise. Y'all can make some noise. Yeah. Oh, I'm asking y'all one more time, and I'm talking to all the campuses too. I can see you, kind of. There are those that we are celebrating because there are those who made a public profession of faith. There are those, I think, still getting baptized. Can we give it up for all those who got baptized today? Yes. Oh, no. Oh, no. God, they are ready. And he gave me a word, so I'm very excited for what is about to happen because I know he gave me a word that I get to give to you all. I also want to give honor where honor is due. That is to our lead pastor, Pastor Bill Cornelius. He has changed my life. Yes. I text him as you've changed my life in invaluable ways. I can never say thank you enough for his leadership and the role that he has played in my life as my pastor. We can give it up one more time for Pastor Bill and Michelle Cornelius, 27 years. Thank you. And we're going to continue the series that Pastor Bill began last week, The Ingredients of an Anointed Life. Today we're going to talk about prayer, and I think that's really important because in the Bible, it says, church, don't worry about anything. It says, instead, it says, pray about everything. He says, pray about everything. And the Bible gives instructions on how we are to approach God with an anointed prayer life. You know, anointing, we learned this last week, that's just, anointing means just power, to do something with power, to do something with authority. And God gives us instructions on how we can do that. And so I hope you will lean in with me. We're just going to go on a little journey. I want to begin with this. I know so many of you all have been in all these locations, and it's such a privilege to be a part of this church in all locations, to shake so many hands, be able to meet so many people. Not all of you have had the privilege of meeting my family. So I want to show you my family really quick. This is my wife, and these are my two baby girls. This is Haley. This was 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday. We got a one-year-old, and we got a four-year-old. Four-year-old is Elle, and the one-year-old is Emma. And that picture on Easter Sunday represents so many things. It reminds me that even through my mistakes, that God found it in his grace to bless me. And I feel like a rich, rich man because of that picture. And thank you. Thank you for that. But, you know, talking about ingredients for an anointing, there's a lot of ingredients that go into just that moment. You know, that moment symbolizes answered prayers. It symbolizes the commitment of marriage. It symbolizes love. But I really want to talk about, I think y'all know where I may be going with this. I want to talk about the moment before that moment. I hope that y'all can empathize with me because the moment before that moment is not that moment. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy because we took that here at church in between services. We don't want to get in the way because we're here to serve you, here to serve God. So we all got together and we have a one-year-old. So the one-year-old, you know, you're always working around nap times. It's hard to be all in the same place at the same time. Okay, so we decide we're all together. We're going to run and take this picture and get out of the way so that you all can take your Easter pictures. So we're in the atrium just moments in Easter, just for a moment. And all of a sudden, I feel like I'm in, y'all know the movie Home Alone, when they left Kevin and they're running through the airport. Because when you have a one-year-old and four-year-old, you got bags on bags on bags. We have a restaurant bag, church, like, because you always got to be prepared, because with a 1 and 4 year old, you never know what's going to go down. And by going down, I'm talking about like go down. Like, I'm not going to go into any more detail with that. So we are going with our bags, you know, down the atrium, because we got to get this picture, because mama's dream is on the line. If you notice that picture, all my girls are wearing the same dress. So the dream is on the line. We need one picture. One picture. So if you're like me, that increases my prayer life. So we're going down and I'm praying, God, just give us one picture. Just one picture. You know, can we make it happen? So we finally get to the moment, right? I know this is like your family. Ain't nobody feeling the moment. Meaning the last thing that my daughters want to do is actually smile. You know, y'all been acting crazy, been having the time of your lives all day. But then when Dada needs this one moment, you ain't there for me. Right? So then behind the picture is what you have, a village doing all these crazy things. We like you got keys going, you like dancing, just so that Emma, the baby, can possibly smile. Not smiling. Kind of smiling, you know? There's so many things that go into the moment. And you see, as you're trying to get them to smile, you're like, as parents, my wife is like, keep smiling, stay looking straight, keep smiling, stay looking straight. But you know they're not smiling, so then you break. And then she's like, keep smiling, look straight. Like, because you try to like, just trying to fix the situation. And it's just like, church, this is exhausting. And then you got slobber on your suit, and then you got to talk to the church. True story. And you walk away and you're like, I hope we got one shot. So that was as good as it was going to get. There's a lot of ingredients that go into one moment. The same could be said for your prayer life. There's a lot of things that come together for an anointed, powerful prayer life. May I remind you that praying is just conversating with God. It's just talking to God. I don't want us to make it more complicated than it has to be, okay? So I want to begin here. God gave us some instructions in the book of Exodus. You know, I'll give you a really brief background. You know, Moses took the Israelites out of Egypt because Pharaoh basically wanted to enslave them and even kill them. So they left Egypt. You know, Moses took them. They went to Mount Sinai. Moses went up to Mount Sinai to meet with God. That is where God gave him the Ten Commandments. He actually gave him 52 more commands, believe it or not. Moses comes down, meets with the Israelites. This is what God said. The Israelites agreed to the commands. And then God said that I can now dwell among you. And he gave them instructions to build a tabernacle there on earth. A tabernacle, you could call that just a sanctuary, a holy place where God could dwell among his people. And in that tabernacle would be the Ark of the Covenant, okay? You could call that the hot spot of God's presence. Imagine like a tent and then another tent and then the Ark of the Covenant inside the middle of that tent. And this was the hot spot of God's presence. And then God gave some very specific instructions. Now, I don't want to get all caught up in the specificity because what I really want you to get is the symbolism of what the instructions meant. I'm going to show you these instructions, then we'll kind of explain them and illustrate them and bring them to life. He said this, gather fragrant spices. Here are the ingredients, resin droplets, mullah shell, galbanum, frankincense. Blend these together and sprinkle them with salt to produce a pure and holy incense. So then grind the mixture into a very fine powder and put it in front of the Ark of the Covenant where I will meet with you in the tabernacle. Never use this formula to make this incense for yourselves. These instructions were very specific. Even more than that, they were symbolic. I'm going to jump right into that first ingredient, the gum resin that it speaks of. It's a fragrant sap that naturally oozes from a tree. It represents this, that God desires for us to be honest and broken. Another way to say it in a not so spiritual way is to be raw and to be real. He is your creator. Breaking news is that what you tell him is actually not breaking news in his world. He is not going to be surprised. He's not going to be like, I cannot believe Clarissa just said that. What are we going to do about that? He is not surprised. He is actually just waiting to receive your call, waiting to hear from you. You are actually designed to depend upon God. But many times, we just stay hurt. Like, I will live in hurt. And I know that somebody needs to hear this. Your hurt alone, especially when hurt is left alone, it does not attract healing. When left alone, it will only grow. What attracts healing in our lives is actually the things of God. But if you were like me, I would fail to live out my faith, put my faith in action. Because what attracts healing is prayer. What attracts healing is hope built through prayer, is faith built through prayer. That's what attracts healing in my life. But I would go along just staying hurt, leaving it alone, never calling upon my creator, God. It says this in Psalms, church. He says so. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. It says, he rescues those spirits who are crushed. He wants to be your rescuer, your savior. It says later on in the Psalms, it says, you will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. At times, the most powerful prayer that you could pray, church, is this. God, help me. God, I can't do it. I am not strong enough. I need your help. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. I would argue that the less eloquent, the less articulate, potentially is the more powerful. We overcomplicate prayer. It's just crying out to him, understanding that I am surrendered to you, and I do not have all this figured out, and I just need you to be my savior. That is what I need. He does not need you to quote a verse in the prayer. He does not need you to bind up the devil. Nothing wrong with that. He just doesn't need it. You know what he really needs, church? All he really needs is a pure and sincere heart. That's what he needs from you. He already knows what's going on. He's just waiting to be called upon. Will we give him our honesty? Will we give him our brokenness? Will we give him the raw and the real? He's just waiting for us. But will we call out? You see, the next ingredient, as you do call out, I pray that we would understand who we are speaking to. The onycha is the snail shell ground into powder. When burned, it gives off that powerful, musky scent. You know, sometimes it's that gentleman you walk by, like, oh, that's a lot. That's like the onycha. But it symbolizes this. It symbolizes authority. It symbolizes power. It reminds us to pray with boldness. As I was thinking about that this morning, I was reminded of the story. You know, some of y'all into UFC fighting. I don't know who you may be. But there was a UFC fighter named Rich Franklin, and I remember him telling this story. He was out in a social setting, and there was this guy who drank a little bit too much and decided to talk a little bit of trash to Rich, not knowing who he was. And so Rich, as a Christian, you know what? Sometimes the most powerful thing we can do, guys, is show restraint. And he was like, bro, you need to stop. Like, I'm going to give you this warning shot. You need to stop. Because Rich, in his mind, is like, I know how this story ends if you keep on going. So you're going to need to give me 50 feet, bro. You don't know, but I know. Because that guy, wilding out, he didn't know who he was messing with, right? Sometimes I forget when I'm praying who I am talking to. I'm talking to the creator of the world who said, I created all of this in 1 week, and on the seventh day, I decided to chill because my work here was done. I'm the one who defeated, we celebrated this 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday. Do you remember who you're talking to? I defeated the grave and I defeated death. That's who you're talking to. But despite that, sometimes I do not pray with boldness, understanding that I'm speaking to the Savior and the Creator of the world, my designer. That's who I'm speaking to. This reminds us to not only give him the honesty, our honesty in our brokenness, but to remind us to pray with boldness. You see, in Philippians, it says this. It says, don't worry about anything, as we talked about earlier. Pray about everything. But if you read the next sentence, it says, tell God what you need. I think because maybe my lack of intimacy with God, I wasn't specific. There's nothing you can ask that is too big for him. So be specific. Ask for it. I would check your heart. He wants a pure and sincere heart. But to be honest, I sometimes very much lack specifics. I didn't talk to him in like, this is what I need, God. I need your help. He can handle it. He's God. So will you approach him boldly? But I will tell you this, if you do so, he will answer, but he may not answer with what you want. He may tell you, don't pursue that relationship. He may tell you, you know that number, it's in your best interest to delete that number. That is hurting you. That is toxic. Oh, that app, that's no good. If I want to take you where we are going, then you need to take that out of your life. Because you ask with boldness, he will answer you. Would we reply with boldness and faith, believing in what he is telling us? Because see what God knows, and many of us already know this about sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll then keep you there longer than you want to stay. And the cost of sin will be more than you want to pay. And God knows that. For those who have sinned and stayed stuck in sin, you know that comment is true. Some of us have the scars, the wounds, the past to that testimony of what sin could potentially do to us. But if we cry out with boldness, God will give you a warning signal to stop. You can always just simply turn around, guys. But when we approach our God with boldness, the thing is, I hope you will reach out to him. But I pray that it's not just an SOS. Because I don't want it to just be, Pastor Bill mentioned, like sin management, like, please forgive me my sins. I'm so sorry. There's nothing wrong with that. But you see, prayer, please understand this. It took me too long to understand this, that prayer, well, I implore you to say, help me, forgive me, have mercy on me, I need you. But please understand that prayer is not just a button to be pushed, but that prayer, it is a relationship to be pursued. A relationship with the Heavenly Father who wants to commune and speak and care and pour into you every single day of your life. It is not just a button to be pushed, but a relationship to be pursued by a loving Father who just desires to speak to you. You see, when you have an intimate relationship with somebody, you tell them everything, right? You share your tears. You share your difficulties. You share everything, just desiring to be cared for, asking for guidance, for wisdom. Well, with God, it's the same way. You know, the next ingredient is galbanum. It's a bitter, pungent odor, and it represents difficult and tearful prayers that God desires. You see, I saw this next verse being lived out, and I want to show you the complete depth of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You know, we already read this front end, but I'll finish it. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray with boldness. It says, tell God what you need. And it says, thank him for all he has done. He desires our praise and prayer. It says, once you do that, it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. It says his peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. That is God's promise to you if we will just pray. Life can be tough, right? See, I was reminded this week, you know, about approximately 7 years ago, my dad passed, and I remember this moment that was extremely difficult for my family. It happened suddenly and unexpectedly. You can imagine the depth of that kind of sorrow. My mom, who was married to my dad for 42 years, could be argued, had it the worst. In the immediate aftermath of my dad's passing, my mom was, she would tell me, she was angry. She was bitter. She was confused that 42 years of marriage could be taken in a moment. She didn't cry out to God because, as she would tell me, she's like, I blamed him. How could he allow this to happen to me? A loving God. And I didn't call out to him because in that moment, I did not trust him, my mom would tell me. And she would say that I let darkness live. And I was worried about my mom, and I asked her to stay with me those immediate days after my dad's passing. And I remember going to her room one morning when she was staying with me. I was concerned, so I woke up and I went straight to her room. Obviously, a very difficult moment. And to my surprise, she was already up. I was surprised that she was up because in those moments of anger, bitterness, confusion, you're not sleeping well and everything's out of order. It's a bit mentally and emotionally chaotic. But she was up this morning, and I asked her, I said, Mom, how are you doing? And she replied in telling me, I cried out to God, and I know that he spoke to me. She said, I had so many questions, and he reminded me of all his promises. And I was like, wow. My mom, to be honest, had never really spoken to me like that. And so in that moment, I was just like, oh my goodness, like, you know when somebody has heard from God? But as she was telling me this, like, she was, I still remember, she was, I'm not going to sit down, but she was sitting down on the edge of her bed, and she was just writing. I can still see it. She was just writing, and I was like, Mom, what are you writing? Because it was like almost feverishly. And she's just like, I'm just writing down everything that God's telling me. And I didn't know at that moment, those words that she was writing down would become part of my dad's eulogy that she would give. And I really felt led, because I know that she heard from God. I wanted to give you just a part of what God let my mom know as she wrestled with darkness and sorrow and loss. She wrote down this. She's like, I asked God, but why now? On Good Friday, did Ray pass, raise my dad? And God said, I want you to remember that I died on the cross on Good Friday and that I am alive now. But my mom said, but I need Ray's love. God answered, I am love. And I am the one that gave you Ray. I love you and always have and always will. But she wrote, I said I didn't want to go through life without him, and that God said, I am always with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. She said, I'm not sure I can do everything alone, but God said, you can do all things through me. She said, I don't know if I can carry on, but God said, I won't give you more than you could handle. But she said, why didn't you take me? And God said, I still have work for you here. But why did you take Ray so suddenly? And God told her, I already had everything prepared for him. His work on earth is done. So why do I still feel sad and want to cry? And he said, it's okay to cry. I have also cried. You will still have trials and tribulations. I am your provider. I am the same today, tomorrow, and forever. I will take care of you. I always have. Those were the words and the promises that God gave my mom. after she cried out to him and said, I can't go on this way. I can't live like this. I need you. And when I walked in and I saw her writing, I could literally see the beginnings of a heart being put back together with God's promises. You see, church, when you fix your mind on God, He fixes you. And I said, I saw my mom's tears in sorrow, in bitterness, in confusion. I saw it turn into something that you would never understand. You know, one of those ingredients is frankincense, and it represents praise. It represents thanking God for all He has done in your life. You want to know what the final words of that eulogy, what they were? It was this. My mom would write this. I am grateful and feel privileged. I see my mom. See you. I love you. God is using you. She wrote this. She says, I am grateful and I feel privileged that God chose me to be Ray's wife. She says, I hope I make God and Him proud. She gave thanks and she told me this. She's like, I could hear your father telling me just through God, he said, I love you. But she said that my dad said, almost like a whisper, but God loves us more. Yeah. See, praise changes everything because it takes your eyes off your problems and it focuses on the promises and power of God. So I pray as we approach Him that we would give Him even praise. Because in that moment, my mom became that final ingredient, which is salt. She became a living testimony of what God had done. See, salt represents a commitment to God. It represents being a living witness to God. And as she spoke at my dad's funeral, she became a light to this world of what was possible when somebody just cries out and says, I need you, and I need your love, and I need your care, and that God would answer her prayers. So I would implore you and encourage you with all of my heart that I pray that you would approach God with your honesty, your brokenness, with your tears. But you would also understand that you would approach Him with boldness and that you would approach Him with praise. Because I promise you, prayer changes everything. That man that loved my mom so well for 42 years, you see, he changed my life forever. Because if I'm just being real with you, that same man, I'm just going to be real with you every single day. My dad, every night, church, every night that I went to bed as a young man, as a child, to a young man, that I had a strong man of God that would get on his knees by my bedside. And you can't tell me that that didn't change everything for me. You can't tell me that that is one of the only reasons I am here today to give this message to you. Because I had a man of God who would pray with me every single night, that he would pray for me every single night, and that he would pray over me as an imperfect, ordinary man who would be made extraordinary through God. and that when he passed, I kept three things, church. I kept three things of my dad's. I kept his wedding ring, I kept his watch, and I kept a voicemail. Because church, there is nothing more special than hearing the voice of someone you know that loves you with all of their heart, especially when you can't hear it anymore. And so I kept it. I couldn't even listen to it because it hurt too much. But you see, that's what prayer is. It's just hearing the voice of someone that loves you with all of their heart. It's a heavenly Father who wants to love you. It's a heavenly Father who would tell you, I gave my son so that you could have forgiveness of sins, and so that you could have a relationship with me on earth, and so that you could be given the gift of heaven. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. You have a lovingly, heavenly Father. I promise you that just wants to put his arms around you. I want to invite in all of our church locations to please bow your head and close your eyes. There may be those here who are here to celebrate a baptism, but I want to invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ, a heavenly Father who sent his son to die for you, that he waits to receive you. All you have to do is ask him into your heart. No matter what location you may be at, I want to invite you to please say this prayer, this salvation prayer, asking God into your heart. If you want to know Jesus, he wants to know you. And I just want to invite you to please say this prayer. I want to invite everybody to repeat this as an act of support to those who may be saying it for the very first time. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you paid the price for my sins. And I believe you rose again 3 days later, proving that you are God. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I want to invite you for just one more moment to please keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And as an act of celebration at all of our locations and even online, if you just said that prayer for the very first time, asking Jesus Christ into your heart so that we may celebrate your decision, I want to ask you to please raise your hand in Portland, in Padre, in Rockport, in San Antonio, at Rodfield, right here at Church Limited Broadcast, wherever you may be throughout all of our locations. I know the hands are going up. Praise God. If you just asked Jesus into your heart, please raise your hand. If you were online, click hand raise or put in the chat hand raise. We just want to celebrate your decision. You are a new creation in God, Scripture says. And you now have the gift of eternity in heaven, Scripture says. As we say a prayer over you and all of us, Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence. May we always approach you in prayer to hear the voice of a heavenly Father who loves us. May we give you our honesty, our tears, our praise. Thank you for the way you love us, Lord. May we always be a witness to what you have done for us. We praise you. And the whole church says, amen, amen, amen. Let's give it up for our Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. If you'll stay with me at all campuses, I just have one last thing that I feel like this is from God. I really do. There are those here who maybe you've accepted Jesus Christ, but you've never been baptized. I want to invite you, maybe you're in Stone Oak, maybe you're in Rockville, you can be baptized today. You know, there are those throughout the Bible, the only prerequisite, the only requirement to be baptized is to have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, to have said the prayer that many just said. So I want to tell you all, if you're on the fence, that God is telling you, get off the fence. You know, to be baptized is the public profession of faith that says, I am now a new creation. I am a child of God. Jesus himself was baptized in Scripture. So to be baptized is not only just a public profession of faith, it's an act of obedience that Jesus himself did when he was on earth. I believe this is God telling those who may be on the fence that you came here to celebrate somebody's baptism, but this is your day to be baptized. We have everything you need at all locations. And in fact, if you want to be baptized, I see Pastor James right there. You can literally go to the baptismal right now and you can get baptized. You don't even have to wait to the next service. You can get baptized right now, okay? So what I am going to do, because I pray that we are bold and that I am bold in my obedience to Jesus Christ. I know God is speaking to someone in here. I don't know what location you're at, but I believe it is God's will for you to be baptized. So I'm just going to count to three, not for pressure, but just to give you a cue. And I'm going to ask all of our locations to roar in applause, because the count of three, I know there are those who are going to make the decision to get up and they're going to go to the baptismal at Stone Oak. They're going to go to the baptismal at Rodfield, and we're going to sign them in, and they're going to go right over here to Church Limited Broadcast, and they're going to make a public profession of faith, and they're going to be able to celebrate this day forever. Okay? So I'm going to count to three. One, it's a step of obedience. Two, I promise you, anytime you take a step closer to God, you never regret it. Three, let's cheer for those who are going to make that decision. Praise God.